So this paper actually came out of, it's called A Further Account of Species Being. It came out of an interest of mine in Marx's account of alienation and estrangement, and investigating alienation and estrangement by themselves without a proper understanding of what we're being estranged from. In Marx's case, species being was a little bit trite. So in this essay, I intend to examine species being, particularly two different aspects, one which can be said of species being, it is social, and the other being a characteristic of species being itself as a whole, species being being universal. I intend to support the claim put forward by Marx that species being is not in all of us, but by virtue of the fact that it is universal, species being is all of us as a social relational unit. In order to tease out these concepts from the text, it may prove fruitful to simultaneously consider both estrangement and species being, and work to explain species being not only in terms of what it is, but its negation following estrangement. In order to bring to light these aspects of sociability and universality, which are not immediately evident, I will analyze a number of passages from the text of the Economic and Philosophical Manuscripts of 1844 that point to a social aspect of species being and subsequent lack thereof in estranged species being. I will also use this text to investigate the characteristic of universality as implicitly part of the theories of species being. I will begin first with the characteristic of universality that species being must necessarily possess as a whole, drawing both from the manuscripts and the theses on Feuerbach. Following this, I will elucidate how this universality of species being necessarily leads us to infer that species being is essentially social as a consequence of the first claim. And I didn't realize how many S's were in that paragraph when I wrote it, so. Beginning the analysis of species being, I will employ a quote from the manuscripts. Quote, "Man is a species being, not only because in practice and in theory he adopts the species as his object, his own as well as those of other things, but also because he treats himself as the actual living species, because he treats himself as a universal and therefore a free being," unquote. Marx seems to suggest here that species being, properly appropriated, is recognized by man as universal. In practice, man views his essence as an object observed by a subject, man himself, but he also does so in theory. He can objectively understand himself as a subject appropriating and observing that object as his essence. Not only this, but I believe this quote also indicates that man can become the observer of another man subjectively observing himself as an object. In other words, he recognizes another man understanding and witnessing his own subjectivity and objectivity. This relationship highlights the ability to view species being as an objective relationship, a relation and interplay between one's subjective self and objective self, and in turn, between oneself as subjective and objective in relation to others. This appears to lend substance to the claim that species being must be universal. This is an ideal state, an unestranged state, in which man understands that this is not only his essence that he subjectively observes, but the essence of others, quote, his own as well as those of other things, unquote. Man sees himself as the physical, objective embodiment of the species being, quote, he treats himself as the actual living species, unquote, understanding himself as the physicalization of this species being that is created in theory. Man can theoretically and philosophically be conscious of his species being as an object, and subsequently view himself as the actual physical manifestation of that species being, the interplay between the subjective self and the objective self, and other subjective and objective selves. Properly appropriated, species being is recognized by man as universal, not in the sense that man would recognize a physical universal characteristic, but in that man observes the relationship between each of us subjectively and objectively observing our species being, creating our relationship to one another. A further claim to support this thesis can be drawn from Feuerbach, from which Marx drew a great deal for his theories of species being. This quote will point to further indications that species being is universal. Quote, "The inner life of man is the life which has relation to his species, Man is, in fact, at once I and thou. He can put himself in the place of another for this reason, that to him his species, his essential nature, and not merely his individuality, is an object of thought. An object to which a subject essentially, necessarily relates is nothing else than this subject's own but objective nature. This quote suggests to us that species being is a reciprocity, a relationship between us and other humans. Species being is created in those social situations with others, which leads us to conclude that it is, makes it universally, necessarily universal, because it is happening between all humans and in contact with other humans. It is universal because it happens when we are in relation with others, and it is only when we are in relation with others that species being comes to life. That inner life of man, that quote, "the inner life of man is the life which has relations to a species," end quote, suggests that the inner life, or the species being, is the life that is created only when man has social relationships with others. Man can simultaneously be I and thou. He can be subjective and objective, objectively observing his species being when in relation to another man, and in this relation can objectively observe the other man and his internal relationship. Out of this arises species being. It cannot be brought out simply by man's individual contemplation of himself and his, quote, essence and individuality, because this essence, species being, is only brought about in relations with others, in the dual realizations of one's subjective and objective nature and the recognition of that realization happening in others. By stating that he can, quote, put himself in the place of another, and it is for this reason that to him his species, his essential nature, and not merely his individuality, is an object of thought, end quote, suggests because man is capable of being the subjective and objective, part of a relationship, that his essential nature, which is in fact these relationships, is only in this way intelligible. It seems to be that his individuality as a human being is not the only object of thought, because it is unintelligible that it be so. If one's human essence is conditioned by the very fact that we have relations with others, then to consider oneself as an individual separate from the social is in sense an error. Without another to posit oneself with and against and to have a relationship with, one cannot comprehend one's essence at all. That essence is only brought out in relation to others. Man has these relationships with others because he sees something, though not necessarily consciously, mirrored in the other person, which is in himself. Quote, "an object to which a subject essentially necessarily relates is nothing else than this subject's own but objective nature," end quote. The subject to which man relates or has a relationship with is recognized because that which he relates with is nothing other than his own nature witnessed in others. Man can subjectively see his essence in the objective relation created, and at the same time witness the appearance of that relationship and essence in another man. That objective nature or essence witnessed that objective nature or essence witnessed notes the creation of social relations. Man witnesses this relation because he is familiar with it in himself, the subjective looking at the objective, just as he is objectively viewing another subjective being. He successfully relates because that which he is relating to, human being and human essence, it is created in the presence of any other human like him, and it is as universal and necessarily prevalent as human beings themselves. As previously mentioned, it may be of worth to examine the universality of species being not only in terms of what it is in its ideal state, but what it is not when it's in its estranged form. Marx states that inverted species being is the state wherein estrangement, quote, "estranges the life of the species and individual life. It makes individual life in its abstract form the purpose of the life of the species," end quote. Incorrectly, species being is in each and every one of us, and how we manifest that species being is what species being is. By doing so, this necessarily separates man's relationship with each other, taking species being out of the equation. By making individual life the type instead of the token, man is unable to recognize or identify human beings as such. As such, man has become specific instead of universal, and thereby has nothing to relate to. There is no relationship created between beings that share nothing that is relatable. To state that one is a single individual human being outside of the social is incorrect. In order to be a human being, one must interact with another human to which we can relate and identify with. By identifying and abstracting that species being into something individually characterized as a subject looking at an object individual to himself and never being able to identify that in another man, man can no longer subjectively identify with human beings. Man can identify others as an object or a thing, but without the experience of being related to as a subject and object and the interplay that goes along with this, man can no longer create a relationship or forge species beings with other men. Following this passage, it stands to reason that what is an integral characteristic of species being is that it is universal. If species being cannot be individualized and abstracted to each individual and relative to each person, then it must be generalized and universal. It follows that if it's in its estranged form, it creates an individual unable to relate to others, then in its ideal form, it is that which is common between all of us. The conclusion that species being has an aspect of universality makes the secondary claim that species being is also necessarily social somewhat intuitive. If we accept the given previous argument that species being is universal and only accessible through man's interaction with other men, then it must necessarily follow that other men, and hence a social aspect, is necessarily a part of species being. In a somewhat simplistic manner, we can regard it as such. If it is necessary that in order to create the interplay between subject and subjective, object and objective, that there must be a subject and an object, there must be two people in order to have a relationship. We have stated that one can incorrectly attempt a primary individual relationship with oneself, but species being is not here created and fostered. There is no relationship developed because there is nobody there to have a relationship with. Marx states this explicitly, quote, "The individual is the social being. The expression of his life is therefore an expression and assertion of social life," end quote. As mentioned, you cannot be identified properly as an individual if your species being, your essence, is only properly developed and exposed in relationship to another person. You cannot first and foremost identify as an individual because with no one to posit yourself against or to view as the subject and object, there is no hope in identifying that which you are not. Quote, "The expression of his life is therefore an expression and assertion of social life," end quote. This quote seems to suggest to us that in order to express his life, his species being, man must be in contact with others. In contact with others, there is an expression of that species being as he is creating relationship. It is also an assertion of social life. In the process of creating these relationships and species being, man is necessarily involved in this social life. By doing so, he demonstrates his species being as that which is only expressed in a social situation and asserts that social life is the only life. In the argument for an aspect of universality, Marx seems to indicate that individual human consciousness is essentially related to others. It would seem natural to imply here that man is social by his very essence. To be aware that each man, as the universal, is simultaneously social reinforces this social nature. It is not just constant interaction that dictates that man is necessarily social. It is also that man's very consciousness of the others as members of his species being is implicit in that interaction. Social in the sense that man is interacting with those who are like him, producing like him, and sharing the same world of objects as him. Though difficult to decipher at times, it is essential for a full and complete theory of species being to take into account both the social nature of man and the recognition of that universality of his species being. To recognize that man is both essentially freely productive, social, and aware of the universal nature of the species being is to give an increasingly clear theory of species being that lends to a more complete and workable notion of alienation. Thank you. Decided.